Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You have your Bibles, 2 Peter, the second chapter. We're going to start at the first verse. Pastor Gardner started talking about some things this morning, and I was talking with my sister tonight, and he was expounding on some things this morning about the fact that folks have come up with their own revelation, their own knowledge. Why? Because they are trying to make you look at them when we're supposed to be looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. Even this pastor was talking about this morning, we're supposed to be looking at Jesus. But men are raising themselves up. Men are causing other men to stumble and fall because they are causing them to look at them. We're supposed to be looking past them to Jesus. I'm going to start reading here. It says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. But there were false prophets among the people. In time past, in the days of Israel, there were false prophets. And he's letting us know, and that mindset has not changed, there shall even be false teachers among you. When I looked at the word, the first time, I thought maybe it was just talking about prophets. But it was also talking about the whole, the hand of God. When it was talking about the hand of God, talking about the fivefold ministry. False prophet, false apostle, false pastor, false evangelist, and false teacher. We hear more about the false prophet more than anything, okay? We hear about that more than anything. But any one of the fivefold ministry, flesh likes to imitate. Right. Flesh likes to imitate. And that's the one, he says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies. In other words, they're going to bring these people in there, these false teachers, these instructors, these so-called masters are going to bring in stuff little by little. See, you have to remember something. The Bible talks about the man being more crafty, more intelligent than anything God had created. He was more intelligent. Man knows how to get into things and how to change them. The Bible talks about the fact that it was they who changed the glory of God. It wasn't the devil. The devil doesn't have the ability to get inside of the things of God and change them. Only the man does. The man whom God created, whom God walked with in the cool of the day, whom God communicated, whom through the inspiration of God, man named all of the animals, all of the creation upon the earth. He was the one that changed the glory of God so that instead of worshiping God as creator, now we worship, at back those times, they would worship trees and they would worship rocks and they would worship all these other things. Today, we're more intelligent than that. We know that we don't bow down to a tree or to a rock. We're more sophisticated. But what we bow down to is other men's ideas. We think the Bible and the body of Christ is a popularity contest, where I'm going to line up with this. We're going to talk about Pastor Tony here, and we're going to line up with him, because what he says is gold, and now I'm going to line up with Pastor Little John over here because of what he said. When we're supposed to be looking at what Christ said. Right. That's how these teachers and prophets and pastors get in. Now, we're going to talk about the prophet a little bit here because, it mentioned them first. Now, the prophet is one to whom God reveals his truth and through whom he speaks, not prediction, but a showing forth of his will. That's what prophecy is talking about, especially in the Old Testament. Prophets, they're teaching and preaching and prophesying of salvation, and they were talking about the purposes of grace and glory that were yet to be accomplished. That's what it was all about. God would instruct them and tell them, to, just like he told Abraham. He told Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And by that, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Well, that didn't come true until Jesus came. All of the nations of the earth are blessed because of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We are blessed because of Jesus Christ. Back then, there was a separation between Jew and Gentile. Now that separation is no more. Why? Because Jesus has torn down the wall of separation between us, and now we both can come into the temple and worship. Even though, yeah, they were God's chosen people back then, we are God's chosen people now. Right. We're God's chosen people now. In the New Testament, the purpose of the prophet, he tells by prophesying and by preaching the purpose of grace already accomplished. It's already been accomplished. That's why Pastor was talking about, I'll give you the term here, when you see the term Jesus Christ, and you will later see in the epistles the term Christ Jesus. When it talks about Jesus Christ, it's talking about the one who was walking the earth, the one before he died, the one who ministered. When it talks about Christ Jesus, it's talking about the one who came through death, who had fulfilled all of the scriptures, and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's very important to notice the difference between the two. The Christ Jesus are the one that we talk about because we are in Christ Jesus now. He completed his work. He completed his mission. Back then, you could not be in it because he was in one place at one time. He was walking up and down the shores of Galilee or whatever it was in the Gospels back then. So it's very important. We are now in Christ Jesus. We don't have to, like I said, we don't have to call him down from heaven. We can call him forth from our life. Why? Because he has established himself in our life. But now these false prophets would have you believe that you still have to look to the man. They still quote that, 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believing in the, and I'm, you know, paraphrasing because I didn't go get it, but believe in the Lord, your God, and you shall be established, and believe in the prophet, and you'll be blessed. It's so many words. Well, I was hearing that one day, and the Lord said, the prophet's in you. Jesus, the prophet. Jesus, the apostle. Jesus, the pastor. Jesus, the teacher. Jesus, the evangelist, is in you. Therefore, I don't have to depend upon any man for my substance. Now, God has placed us together in the ministry. He's put us all together. We was talking, Pastor Rutherford and I was talking about, we were talking and discussing the fact about, you know, we go through all week and we're under attack by the enemy because we're out. We're out amongst ourselves, by ourselves. And a lot of times you don't have another brother or sister on the job with you so that y'all can kind of team up and kind of protect one another. You're out there by yourself. In fact, it's you going amongst the wolves. You going out, you being attacked, you being ridiculed, sometimes by your own family, your co-workers, your boss, they're laughing at you because you may be in a down position as far as they're concerned. You know, you don't have enough money, or you don't have a good car, or you don't have a good enough life like they do, and you serving this God. Well, they're not serving this God, and all of a sudden they got all the stuff that they need. And here you are, you're bragging on this God that you serve, and you don't have those things. And it irritates them. Why? Because you're talking about a lifestyle that they're not living. A lot of them are religious people. You know, they've got a form of godliness, but they deny the power of thereof, God, to reproduce love, peace, and joy in their life. They got a form. That you look at them and say, oh, that's a good person. And God said, there's none good but God. None good but him. So they're portraying themselves to be these teachers and these preachers of godliness without doing the works. the love, the joy, the peace, and they're attacking you with it. I was telling Brother Rutherford about this one lady who thinks I was telling the Sunday school class about this one lady who thinks the rec center where I work at is her place of worship. She goes in there and she turns on, nothing wrong with turning on, because I just turn, now they tell me to turn on ESPN, so that's what I turn on. I turn on ESPN. Well, some of them come in there, they turn on BET, whatever. Well, this young lady, she likes to turn on the religious program, which is fine. But now you going through the place hooping and hollering, talking about speaking in tongues and all of this type of stuff when it is a recreation center. It was not picked out by God to be a place of worship. But yet you going in there hooping and hollering and screaming and doing all of these things, causing attention to be drawn into yourself and not unto God. I was given the story of something that happened, one of the children that got lost in the complex. And you know, and a lot of times when you're going through, you still have to serve God. When you're going and you're under attack, whether it be physically or financially, you still have to be in a position to minister. You cannot allow situations and circumstances to dictate to you how and when you serve God, because you never know, somebody's going to need you, somebody's going to have help, and you've got to be in that position. You've got to stand upright. You can't be like the false ones here. You got to stand upright and help these people. Well, this one lady, her daughter was lost. She didn't know what to do. She's trying to circle this big complex trying to find it. Told her, no, you got to go to the office, lady. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to search this place for you, and I'll meet you up there. Now, I'm on foot. Car's down. I'm on foot. But I go over there, and then I'll come back and meet her. You know, tell her that, you know, go up here, because they get, these people have access and resources that you need. They call the police for her and all of these things. So it's time for me to leave. I'm leaving out. And all of a sudden, I hear this sound out of the window. Androbo koshanda kiriobo shikola. I'm like, are you kidding me? See, we think that's doing something. First of all, they don't understand what you're doing. Bible says when you speak in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. Unless God gives forth a message and there is someone to interpret. You're not building up anybody else when you do that. You're causing confusion. They're laughing. They're like, what is going on? You got your window up. What you think you Daniel? Daniel prayed in an audible voice so they understood exactly what he was doing. They knew who Daniel was praying. Daniel was praying to his God. That's why they took occasion against him. When the king, when they had it set up where the king would make that proclamation. Well, they could say, well, Daniel's not doing that. Daniel's lifting up this other God. He's not obeying you, king. God had a chance to prove himself. How does God have a chance to prove himself when you're doing this? We don't know what you're doing. You don't know who you're doing it for. You don't know the purpose. Because if somebody who is uninitiated in the things of God come in and hear you, they don't understand. All the tongues are going to do is confuse them and make them turn away from God. We're supposed to be bringing people to God. That is what it's talking about as far as being a true prophet, a true teacher, a true pastor. You may have to be pastor on your job. You've got to do it according to the scripture. You can't do it according to what you feel and what you think. Later on, it was some things that went down. So she come to me and asked me to, you know, go to the authorities thereof and try to get them done. So I told her I would. Okay. So the people came over. Now this is the mighty woman of God who's running through and praying and all of this stuff. And so they began to ask her. Now, she's so caught up in herself, she can't answer the proper question. Caught up in flesh. So, the one lady asked her, did you call the emergency phone? there's a pamphlet they give out with an emergency number on it. Yeah, I did, and they didn't do a D thing. Now, you just showed who you were. You've allowed your situations and your circumstances to reveal who you are. Religious. Just like the Pharisee who beat on his chest talking about how great he was and I don't do this and I don't do that, yet you out of control. You cussing. And it wasn't even a situation that was that serious. That's why we have to allow the nature and the character of God to come forth in our life so that we don't present the false. Because they're looking. People are looking. They're looking at your lifestyle. They're not looking at what you say because everybody's on TV now talking about God. If you're seeing all these people, when they break a touchdown or score a basket, they pointing up like they know God. That's just a ritual. I thank God. Everybody thanks God. Who's thanking Jesus? Nobody's thanking Jesus. Salvation came through the Lord Jesus. What did God say? This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Got to hear from God. So in your ministry, you can't be false. You have to watch out. Now, there's two things I wanted to talk about here. The first thing is what we're talking about right now as far as being true. In other words, there's a lot of folks nowadays that, I'll put it like this. God raised me up to be a pastor here. Okay. But I didn't call myself pastor until they ordained me as pastor. In other words, I didn't get the cart before the horse. A lot of folks are self-naming themselves apostle and prophet and bishop before the time. Why? Because they are trying to get people to look at them and who they are when we're supposed to be looking at Jesus and who he is. And remember that everybody in the body of Christ is important. Everybody is. Every joint supplies every other joint. In other words, I can draw from Sister Gloria. I can draw from Brother Green. I can draw strength from each and every one of you. Why? Because that's the way God designed the body. So that we encourage one another. That's why we come together. Why? Because like I said, we get beat up on the outside. You be in that war against armies. You know, one man gang against the army. The flesh. You get tired. Then your own flesh is talking to you. Telling you that you're not no good. Telling you that people don't love you. They don't like you. You're constantly bombarded with that. Then your car or whatever is going out. And you know, sometimes I admit I get to complain. Lord, why is this happening to me at this particular time? Or how did this happen? So you got all these things going on. So when you come together, you draw strength from one another. Why? Because we forget about those things and we begin to worship God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's God's liberty. Amen. Liberty from all of the problems that you done went through the past week. You can get strength. You get power. Why? From the Word of God. Through worshiping together. That's why it's important for you to worship. You can't get nothing from God without worshiping him. Folks, another type of doctrine is that you can pay for what you want. A lot of folks into that doctrine. Pastor mentioned it, I'm going to mention it too. Folks on TV talking about a Gideon offering. $300. First of all, you're supposed to take care of your local church. That's the place where you fed. That's the place of shelter. That's the place that God commanded you to go. See, I know God commanded me to go to this place after my father passed away. Like I said, I was one of those that, you know, I'm going to sit at home and watch TV. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit at home and watch TV. And I'm going to give my tithes to my brother and sister. They going to church. I'm going to let them take them. I said, you got to find a storehouse. So I raised those tithes up. And God showed me to come to this place. Pastor Hart. And then when I got here, I had to get in line. I couldn't do the old things that I did up under my father's ministry. You got a new headship. Therefore, you got to follow it out. I'm going to pay tithes like I did with my father. I got a hole in that bucket just like Brother Hart said. And that money, I get paid on Friday and looking for Tuesday. I'm like, what happened? Because the word of God is true. Amen. Folks teaching that you don't have to tithe. If Jesus mentioned it, you better do it. He mentioned it over there talking about you tithe. And he also talked about the works that you have to do. That's part of your tithing. Folks coming against the word, coming against the tithing. Still talking about first fruit. When the Bible mentions first fruit, it says when you have a harvest and you get into the land where I promised you, you take the sheep to the priest and let him wave it. It's not converted into money. God covered that when he said tithes and offerings. But folks are trying to convince you that your first fruit is you got to send it to them. Once again, you're not sending it to the local house. You're sending it to them outside of the house. But God has yet blessed you and sent you to this house. Let me tell you something. Since I've been in this place, God has blessed me. Now, yeah, I'm not going to tell you that you don't go through, but God has blessed me. The questions and things that I needed answered, God sent me to this place. And then folks would ask me, oh, what are you doing here? Why are you going to that church? Why? Because God commanded me to go to this place. Amen. Where the blessing of the Lord is, where obedience is, there's the blessing of God. Amen. Let me get back to these scriptures now. The second point I wanted to bring out here is that when you bring in these damnable heresies or heresies of destruction, even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves such destruction. Don't get tricked in thinking that God is not going to punish those that are not right. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Back in the Old Testament, we used to see that a lot where God would almost immediately destroy. We get over here because we're under Jesus now. We think, you know, we've got the mercy of God. Yeah, we do have the mercy. But you still have the wrath that's still there. The difference being is Jesus, he'll wait now. He'll wait. That word swift means soon. Doesn't mean swift like lightning. It means soon. In other words, it's coming. It's coming in God's time. God created time for man. He told us to observe the seasons and the days and those things. It's not for him. He's timeless.
Right, man.
He don't worry about time. So he can wait all day. And what God does is he waits to that point. He looks in at your heart. He's waiting for that point. We see it. Well, they're not coming back. Now I'm going to take care of it. Don't allow yourself to get to that point. Don't allow the things and circumstances and flesh to get you to that point where you get cut off. That's why it says, observe yourself, examine yourself. Now let's go on with this. So there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who will little by little bring in these damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. In other words, placing themselves in front of God so that you look to them instead of looking to God. And they shall bring swift upon themselves swift destruction. 2:2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many shall follow their lascivious or excessive ways. How did Timothy say it? Having itching ears. They're itching for this. Folks are itching for good things. And the scripture already said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But we don't want to wait for God to add them to us. We want to play The Price is Right. That's the game we want to play. The Price is Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to buy this. See, give. But you have to look at your motive when you give. See, God's been dealing with this. You know, I thank my pastor when he put me over that Sunday school. It caused me to study that Old Testament. Now, like I said, I've been a man of the epistles. It caused me to really look at the Old Testament, and I began to find and see many things that I have not seen before in the Old Testament. they had motive, an offering of motive back in the Old Testament. In other words, that would determine, what are you doing? Why are you giving this to God? Are you giving this because you love him or because you're seeking a blessing out of this? See, we can't be selfish with these things. If I'm going to prophesy to you to get your money, that's selfish.
Yeah.
I've got an ulterior motive. And a lot of times people get caught up in it. People get caught up in the thing. So they forget about the love and the joy and the peace that God has given, and that's what they're supposed to be giving out. Right. We come to church because we want to buy a blessing. Price is right. Come on down, Brother Tony. And because you gave this money, guess what God's got for you? A new car! The price is right. We have to be careful. Many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of the way the truth shall be evil spoken of. Once again, I can change the truth. That's why I'm just using myself as an example. I can change the truth of God. In the same way that man was talking about on the radio that God, you use the mouth and not the hands, then why did God give us hands to use? Why did God tell us about the works that we are with our hands? And why we should keep our hands clean so that our works would be clean if we didn't intend for us to use hands? That's why it's important for you to follow the word of God, because a lot of folks will get up and they will twist the truth and speak evil of it. And I get caught up in my flesh and follow right along with them. Through covetousness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise out of you. In other words, through covetous desires or in it, because they're resting and they continue. In other words, this is not an accident. This is a planned out thing. This is something people plan out. And you've got to be aware of it. They shall with formed words, fabricated words, fictitious words, such as thus saith the Lord. They'll tell you that. Thus saith the Lord. You do this, God's going to do that. You have to find out whether that's true in this word. Through feigned, fictitious words, they make merchandise out of you. In other words, they trade you off. They trade you off. They sell you down the river. But the idea is they're perverted. They're trying to get you and keep you. Why? Because they want to get something out of you. So they trade you off. The love of God, waxing cold. That's why you have classes in the church. That's why you have cultures in the church when it's supposed to be one body.
Yes, sir.
Now, I was thinking about that. See, in Jesus, when he breathed the breath of life into that first man, all the races were in that first man. Every last one of them. Man, when he, and I thought about this, God was just showing me, at the Tower of Babel, when God separated them by the language, a lot of them separated not only by the language, but by the color also. So it became in man, because once man sinned and he walked away from the love of God, what replaced it? Hate. Hate for other races. Hate for other cultures. Kill them. Destroy them. They look different from us. They sound different from us. Even in the church today, they look different from us. They sound different. Let's not associate with them. See, you have to take into these things here, you know, and what that does, that puts you on the out with God.
Yeah.
Why? Because God created all men. We are all his workmanship. Now, some folks are saved and some folks aren't. Well, we're supposed to love them anyway. How are they going to get saved?
Amen.
How are they going to get saved unless we show them the love of God, the one that we talk about that we know?
Yeah.
We have to demonstrate that. So they make Through covetousness they shall make, in vain words, they make merchandise of you. Jump down to the 10th verse. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. In other words, they despise the government of God. Not only that, they'll talk evil of dignitaries. Whether you like Barack Obama or not, you're supposed to pray for him.
Right. Amen.
Whether you like George Bush or not, you're supposed to pray for him.
Amen.
God said, pray for them. No matter what color they are, God said, pray for them. You may not like their ways, okay? And they can come down and somebody say they don't like my ways, okay? Because we're all different. We all have different ways of doing things. You're supposed to pray for them. Pray that there be peace. Pray that there be peace. Pray for your government. They need directions from God. If we're not praying for them, God can change minds. God can do things when you pray. And if we all pray together, pray the same thing, God can accomplish. But if we're all biting on them and talking about them, where's the love? Chiefly to them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Not only dignitaries in the world, but they're not afraid to speak of dignities in the church. Talk about the pastor. Talk about each other. Not supposed to do that. See, we forget those things. When you get caught up in your flesh and you get angry, that's why the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Angry without a cause. I wake up on the wrong side of the bed and I'm mad at Brother Rutherford. He come for me and I'm thinking about something that he said or something he did. Now I'm angry with him for no reason. He's not even there. Now my mouth gets to going. Thoughts get to going, then the mouth gets to going. You have to control those things. That's why God is telling us about our flesh. You have to examine yourself. You examine yourself by the word of God. You measure yourself by the word of God. See, I'm not in competition with Pastor Rutherford. I'm not in competition with Pastor Gardner. We are teammates. Now, you got a head, just like on a football team. You got a quarterback. Leader of the team. But each member of the team is valuable. You can't win without each member on the team. We can't win without each member of the body of Christ. Each member has been placed in here by God with a purpose. To allow the nature and the character of God to manifest in their lives so that everybody in here is a light so they can see Jesus in each and every one of them. Whether I'm up here or you're at the back door, we're supposed to be able to see Jesus in each and every one of us. Don't matter about your position. All that matters is that you allow Jesus to manifest himself. So now these folks are not they're presumptuous and they're not afraid. See, I'm afraid of God. See, my fear is supposed to be reverence, not a fear of that God's going to kill me, but a reverential fear that I don't do those things that displease him, like talking about my brother and thinking bad thoughts about the people of God. These folks not afraid. They'll talk about them. They'll talk about each other. They see one minister fall in another ministry. They on TV and on radio talking about them.
Right.
Instead of praying for them. God's not pleased with that. Taking each other to court and all of these types of things. But I say, brother, take the wrong. No, we're not going to take the wrong because I'm who I am. I'm Bishop so-and-so. Don't take that wrong. To get them right. It says 11th verse, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. In other words, get so caught up that not only they bring an accusation, but a blasphemous accusation. A blasphemous accusation. See, you don't get so caught up. Heard folks lying to each other in the church. I don't like who's hanging with Brother Rutherford, so I go to them and tell them something about Brother Rutherford. or tell him that Brother Relliford did something to me to make me change my perception of Brother Relliford. That's why you have to be careful what you say. See, we are creators just like the Creator. We're here in His image, after His likeness. We have His abilities to create with our mouth. By the spoken word, God created the heavens and the earth. By the spoken word, by my spoken word, I can create an atmosphere around Brother Relliford if somebody's not paying attention to the words that I say. I can affect him. I can affect the perception around him. Tear down his reputation. See, I'm supposed to be thinking about, and see, the thing about it, once again, God will get you. See, we think that we're going, oh, Lord, forgive me. Yeah, he's going to forgive you. He's going to forgive you, but you're still going to reap that which you plant. Amen. Pastor Hart gave that illustration, and I never forgot it. Talked about the kernels of corn that he carried around in his pocket. And all of a sudden, the Lord told him to plant them. He planted those kernels of corn, and I don't know how long it took the stalks to come up, but eventually they came up. Three stalks. I think it was one kernel of corn, I believe. Three stalks out of the one kernel, off of the one shaft. Three stalks. Count it. Over 300 kernels of corn on each one from the one seed. Now, God said that he made it so that the plants and the things would yield for good things. When you do things that are perverted, you're going to receive the curse. You don't know how it's going to come. When the man sinned and God had to curse the ground, thistles and thorns came forth, that which was hurtful. Now you got to watch it. This bush now that has these lovely roses, I just can't go and pick them anymore. Why? Because they're thorns now. It looks good, it smells good. And if I grab it the wrong way, my hands bleed. You have to watch what you say and what you do. Because when that harvest come back, it's going to be more than what you planted. You don't know how it's going to come back. And it's coming back to you. Why? Because God said he is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. 12th verse, but these as natural brute beasts. Natural brute beasts. By nature, they're following out their natural bent. In other words, we have a choice. I have a choice every day. I can either follow God, follow this word, or I can follow my own thoughts and my own ideas. When I follow my own thoughts and my own ideas, I become natural. I'm flowing according to nature. Now, these talking about brute beasts, unreasonable and irrational. In other words, you can't reason with them. Can't tell them that they're wrong. They always, we done met them all sometimes. In the body of Christ, they know everything. Can't tell them nothing. There's only one person that knew everything. His name was Jesus. Come in the door knowing everything. You can't tell them anything. Brute beasts, irrational, unreasonable, living creatures. Made, Bible says they're made to be taken, captured, and destroyed by their nature. Don't allow yourself to get to that point. See, when he talks about examining yourself, the thought God gave me was this. Now, God has created a great purpose for us. We carry the nature and the character of God in our lives. We carry the Spirit of God. We carry the anointing of God. Everything that God is has been implanted in us without limitation. The only limitations is up here. That's why you have to keep your thoughts and mind on Jesus, because the old man is in there with the Spirit of God, and he is going up against it, telling you that you can't do these things, you can't accomplish these things. He's bombarding you, telling you that. The first time I spoke in tongues, the old man was there. I didn't know who it was. I said, don't you feel stupid? Tried to get me to stop. I didn't listen to him. Yeah, because I wanted that. He didn't try with that. He tries with other things. Folks don't like you. They're not showing up. These and this and that. Always trying to convince you that you can't do it. When God says by his power and his strength that you can do it. Each and every one of us has been invested with the power of God. We all have the same authority in God. Your authority is no less than mine because my name happens to be pastor or associate minister here. Because you're all part of the body. We're all equal with God. We don't, just like he did, he said, I count it not robbery to be equal with God, but I make of myself no reputation. How can we be a part of God and not be equal with him? But like Jesus, we make of ourselves no reputation. We give all the glory unto God because he's the one who did all the work. All we did was have to sit back and say, yes, Lord, and come into our life. Now, there's a price that you have to pay afterward, but the conditions were free. So we can step up. And God has all of these great blessings, not only spiritually, but physically and financially for us, and they're free. So we're all equal. We're all on the same playing field. We're all equal in God, no matter about culture. See, man come up with those words like culture and things like that. Why? To make a separation. God said, let there be no divisions among you. We're all one. We all draw from each other. We all draw strength from one. We all draw love. But these people are brute beasts, irrational, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they don't understand. Told you before, when I see the pastor, he may not communicate a thing to me and he does something I do. If I don't understand it, I do not speak against it. Keep my mouth shut. Because God has told him something that he may not have revealed to me yet. Okay? God's not going to tell me everything he tells him. He's a leader. I get in line with the leader. That's why you saw Nathan, Corn, and Abiram. God made them priests up under Moses. All of a sudden, they get dissatisfied. Who made you a prince over us, Moses? Moses said, I ain't done nothing to you. God blessed you with this position. You priest, you minister to the whole nation. We ain't listening to you anymore, Moses. We just as holy as you are. God never said that you weren't. But all of a sudden, you got in your mind that you got to go up against the man of God. What did God do to him? God destroyed them. He destroyed them. In other words, God letting you know, hey, he destroyed back in the old days. Let's read this. You know what? Let's go back to 2 and 4. We'll just read that. 2 Peter 2 and 4. It said, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto them that unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. God destroyed all of those. He's the same God. He's the same God. That's why I'm careful how I treat the saints. I'm careful. Give you the example, I'll say it again. Pastor Howard, when he was alive and he was in control, you know, there were things, decisions that he, you know, made, and some of them I didn't agree with. But I went to him. I didn't talk behind his back. I went to him and asked him and inquired. And I inquired gently about it. Okay, not trying to get on the man of God's nerve. Because like I said, I saw some words said to my father, the pastor, and I saw God go after some family members. In other words, just because he was my father, he's God's man now. You better leave him alone. Better leave him alone. So I'd ask Pastor Hart, Pastor Hart, I like so-and-so. You know, I know you ended, but we'd like, well, God told me to move on in another direction. That was the end of the conversation. Okay? And that was the end of the what's it? I went on and got back in my place and did that which God commanded me to do and didn't have an attitude about it. See, God judges the heart. He knows what's in the heart. See, we can fool each other, but you can't fool God. Can't fool God. You have to, that's why you have to examine yourself. So God destroyed them. So let's go back to 2 and 13. We're almost done. He said, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. In other words, the wages of sin is still death. It's still separation from God. It still has not changed. It hasn't changed then. It is not changing now. As they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are blemishes. Come on, ride in the daytime. They live delicately. They're better than you. They have no regard for you, what you're going through. Convince you that the devil's always after you. Now, I'm like, wait a minute. How's this possible? See, if I can always get you to think that the devil is after you, then you're going to have to come to me to get him off. Not knowing that the one who is built it, the same one that built the hedge in Job, around him in Job, is living in you. So can't no devil constantly bombard you. When Jesus cast them out, they didn't come back. They didn't come back. He can't come back either. But the one who doesn't leave, to watch him. And see, then there's others, because once again, we're going out into the world and we're encountering others. And they don't know what it is in your life. All they know is it's something they don't like. It's the anointing in your life. The flesh and the spirit, they are opposites of each other. And they're going to go and war against each other. They don't get along. So that's why folks don't want to get along with you. They'll find a way to be unreasonable in trying to get along with you. Whatever you come up with, they got something better. That's the warfare you have to understand, so that you don't get caught up in it. I know who I'm fighting. So I'm prepared on my job, prepared sometimes in the home. You prepare so that you don't get caught up in what they're doing. You can stay cool and you can stay calm and God can speak to you and you can have peace even in the midst of that storm. Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's about peace. I told Brother Rutherford, I said, I did make a New Year's resolution. Made it last year. My father told me a long time ago, because my mother, I told y'all before, my mother was an alcoholic. And, you know, we were teenagers, we trying to get her saved, and you know, all of this type of stuff. My father told me, he said, when you see that your words avail you not, stop talking. Why are y'all continuing to try to convince her when she doesn't want to be convinced? You know that you're trying to give her a good thing, but unless somebody's ready to get saved, you cannot beat them into the kingdom.
Amen.
It's by love. Love conquers a multitude of sin. So I learned that. I quit trying to do that. Same thing. Deal with folks. You know, common sense thing. They don't want to act with common sense. They're not going to listen to you. I'll stop talking. That way I'm not upset. And they can do whatever they like because they're going to continue to do it anyway. You're not going to stop them. So that I can live peaceable with them. Then I can hear from God. See, that's the whole thing. You know, I want to communicate with God. So I have to clean out all of the junk and the rubble that will seek to interfere with me. Because these folks, they want to live delicately. They want to ride in the daytime. God calls them spots. They are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceit while they feasting with you. Bring you in the house. Find out who you are and what you are. Instead of trying to fellowship with you, they're trying to find out about you. Why? So they can get on the phone and talk about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. That's what they do. Gossip. That's not edifying to the body of Christ. See, we're talking about false prophets. Let me tell you, prophecy. Prophecy is edification, it's exhortation, and it's comfort. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I would that you all prophesy. I don't have to foretell, and I can speak good words to my brother right here.
Amen.
Tell them God is in his corner. Give them a hearty handshake or a hug. Sometimes that's all a person might need. And let them know that God loves them. I just prophesied to him. I have to try to get no special word. That's what prophecy is. Exhortation, edification. I exhort him. Tell him God's in his corner. I build him up. Tell him how good God is in his life and how God has great things. And I give him comfort. I just prophesied to him. That's what God wants us to do to each other, the body. That's how we prophesy. That's how we teach. We teach the love of God. We evangelize the love of God. We, the apostle, the sent word. I send the word of God to him. So that God is edified. God is built up. We all can do this together. We're all on the same plane. Some may be a leader in some form or fashion, but we're all in the same place, knowing that God hear me just like he hear Pastor Rutherford. See, a lot of times we get to the thing where God hears the pastor more than he hears. No, I don't. That was Old Testament. And that was because of their choice. The reason why God used Moses and such, because Moses wanted to hear from God and the people didn't. They didn't want to hear from God. That's why God picked out prophets and made prophets. They said, we don't want to hear this sound, lest we die. And you just heard the sound. You just heard God speak to you and you yet living, but you don't want to hear it. So God gave them what they asked for. He said, okay, Moses, you can come up here. Y'all stay back there. We'll hear from Moses. God, you, Moses, you talk to God, then you come tell us. That's what they said. So God picked out a man. But nowadays, man is picking their own self. One guy on the radio calling himself the master prophet. The master prophet. Jesus didn't even call himself the master prophet. Heaping honors unto themselves that they don't arm. Having eyes full of adultery and can't cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Heart that they have exercised with covetous practices. God calls them cursed children. In other words, that old nature is always operating, and it takes no bounds. It don't know how to cut itself off. In other words, as a man of God, my job as a man of God is to make sure that the sisters in this church are comfortable. If I'm greeting you, and I'm single, and you're single, I'm greeting you as a brother in the Lord. Yeah. Not, you know, the way the world does it. Well, they're all over them and looking at them in an ungodly way. That's not the thing of God. I'm your brother, and I'm supposed to treat you that way. I'm supposed to treat you according to this, to the word of God. Not according. I'm the man of God, so I can do anything I want. God can rubber stamp my life because I'm saying now I can do any and everything. Wrong. I still got a code of conduct that I have to follow.
Right.
And same thing with the women. God don't. You know, he don't give one without getting the other.
Right.
Which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, who was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with the man's voice, forbidding the madness of the prophet. Now, we're going to talk about Balaam just a little bit. Balaam was a Hittite. Okay? He was a Hittite. Now, you know, if you study the word, you'll find out that when God left Egypt, that some of the Egyptians followed them, called them the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude caused Israel to sin in a lot of cases because they reminded them of the fleshly things that they had in Egypt. When they was talking about the food, God was giving them manna, and he's talking about this, they were talking about them, and the Egyptians were talking about the manna to the Israelites. And the Israelites complained about it. Talking about, remember the leeks and the fish that we had back in Egypt. So they allowed those people that went along with them to convince them against the things of God. And God started punishing them for it. And you know, you can't walk with everybody.
Right.
They got to have the same mindset that you have. They, Pastor always said it. They have to want the same things of God that you want. When you find that they don't, you don't mistreat them, but you have to separate yourself.
Yeah.
You have to separate yourself mentally. Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. What is the unclean thing? Anything that will damage your relationship with God. There's been those that used to go to this church, and while they were here, they tried to convince me to leave. God told me to come here. Now I'm going to allow a man to convince me to leave. Sometimes God has you in a place to let you see things that you serve God in spite of what things are going on. Because just like he was reading this one, the course of life is set. Okay, now I don't believe God puts, you know, purpose for things in it, but his life is set. And you go in and you, as you run this race, you encounter these things.
Right.
You have to overcome them. Unfortunately, sometimes that means overcoming brothers and sisters' words that's talking about the ministry. Yeah. Why aren't you leaving? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? God's got something for you. See, that was Balaam's problem.
Right.
He's a Hittite. He was a spiritist and a medium. Now, God used him anyway, but he was a spiritist and a medium. So Balak going to come over to him and try to convince him to put a curse on Israel. Now, this wasn't no curse like I curse you out. This is one of them curses like you see on TV where they try to set something in motion as to affect somebody else's life. At first, he said he wasn't going to do it. In fact, let's just go there. We'll go there right quick. Go to Numbers 22, 22nd chapter. We'll go with that, and then we're almost done. Numbers 22nd chapter. Let me just read a little bit. Numbers, the 22nd chapter. Everybody have a say amen.
Amen.
It says, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around about us. In other words, all the circuits around us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of this earth, and they abide over against thee. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail. Perhaps I shall prevail that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot not, he whom thou blessest is blessed, and whom thou curse is cursed. In other words, he's saying, I know you got power in so many words. Seventh verse, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hands. So they're going to pay this man for divining. Readers, astrologers, soothsayers, Madam Cleo, all that nonsense. Christians calling up, paying for that nonsense, thinking that they're going to get by, go out there. You're in the family of God, and yet you're going to go outside of his authority and get blessed. Not going to happen. And the elders of Moab, like I said, the rewards of divination in the hand, they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto him, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. The Lord Jehovah shall speak unto me, and the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Ninth verse, and God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Look at that word, God is changed to Elohim. In other words, Jesus came. Who are these men with you? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, Behold, there's a people to come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. God said unto him, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Balak rose up early in the morning, saying to the princess Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refused to give me leave to go with you. The prince of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again more princes, more and more honorable than they. Get some mightier men to come up, more honorable people. I'm going to come over here and get this man of God to come over here and speak to you, to convince you. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto a very great honor. See, if you come over here, God, spot for you over here in this church. See, you'll just stay over there. See, they're not using you over there.
Yeah.
You come over here. We got a spot for you over here. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that they can't give you no spot. Grass not greener over there. God has commanded you to be over here. But we think God changed his mind. I've never seen anywhere where God changes his mind on stuff. I've never seen it in here. So, more honor. I will promote thee unto a very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto service of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray thee, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Now God's already told you what he said. He said, don't go. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If these men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I said shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. When I looked at that, it looked like God told him to go. It reminded me of something my mother said once. Asked to go down the street. No, you can't go down the street. Well, I come back to her later. Yeah, I don't want to go. He said, okay, go ahead and go down there. I told you not to go. Go ahead and go. In other words, I had already given you the instructions. You come back to me asking me, and I had already told you, don't go. And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled against him because he went. Disobeyed God. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in his way. And his sword was drawn in his hand. The reason why the sword was in his hand was because Balak was going to tell Balaam to put the sword to him, so he could curse him, so he could put the sword to him. So now you get ready to reap what you sow. The sword is in the angel's hand, and he's ready to cut you up. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in his way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went to the field. Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards. In other words, he tried to go another way. Path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall being on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there's no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me. And I would that there was a sword in my hand now, for I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, which thou hast ridden every since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in his way, his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his face down and fell flat on his face. So caught up in his way, so caught up, what's his name? Can't see them. You the prophet of God now. God didn't talk to you, but you can't see him. Be careful. Don't allow yourself to get so caught up in what you're doing that you can't sense the presence of God. Because God stood against him as an adversary. Don't allow situations and circumstances to cause God to be your adversary. And the angel of the Lord spake unto him, said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass three times? In other words, God asked him, why are you mistreating this animal? Let you know God loves the animals too. You got a pet, don't mistreat them. I know this is something, some of these things are simple, but you know, we have to take all of these things into account because the flesh will try to pop its head out in any and every situation. That's how these people become mass murderers. They start on animals first. They lose their sensitivity to killing animals and they graduate up. A lot of times they'll use these video games where they're killing people in the video game. They're desensitizing themselves. They don't have no feeling about shooting the people in the video game. So it's just another plaything to them when they go into a theater or into a school. And then that's like Pastor said, they become cowards. Now they know because they think they're going to get away. They think in death they're going to escape. But there is no escape. There's no escape. There's no escape for doing wrong to your brother. And let's finish this up. And the Lord asked him about why you spit me these three times. Behold, I went out, this angel saying, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me. Surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. You weren't going to kill a donkey. You were going to kill the prophet. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in thy way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get thee back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only word, speak the word that I speak unto thee. They kept asking Balaam to curse. Balaam kept, and see, we want to use the things of God. So what did Balaam do? He got seven altars on several different occasions, seven different altars, and set up the way, the offering, the way God wanted it, so that it would be good, and that is he thinking that's going to change God's mind. When God sets forth a commandment, that's why it says obedience is better than sacrifice. He sacrificed three or four different occasions, seven different altars with an ox and a lamb on them. And that's going to change God's mind. When God says no, that's what he means. When God tells you that you have to love your brother and your sister, that's what he means. So that we don't get the wrath poured on us. Because once again, folks do things to people and they think they're going to get away. They say, Lord, forgive me. And they don't even go back to the person that they did any harm to. They don't even go back. Brother, you got an ought against your brother. You're supposed to go to your brother before you bring your gift to the altar. Right. We done forgot about those things. Why? Because we're who we are now. See, I'm this mighty man or this mighty woman of God. It's not about Jesus anymore. It's about me. So I forget myself. I become mad like this dude did. And I'm going to convince God. Later on, you find out Balaam got killed. Why? Because he kept trying against God, kept trying against God, kept trying to change God's mind. Can't change God's mind. So none of these folks prophesy to you, these folks telling you about leaving the church, these folks telling you about getting a quick blessing, you better follow out the things of God if you want to be blessed. God will bless you in his own time. The thing that we have to do is stand upright before the Lord and do all the commandments in the book. All of them. We can't leave them out. We think that we're going to do these things. Let me tell you something. Our family members, we want our family members to say, you have to live right before them according to the word of God. The standard has been set. If you want to see your family members saved, you've got to go all out for Jesus.
Amen.
Compromising is not going to get them saved. My father, he lived before my mother. He nose to the wall for the things of God. She tried to convince him. I was telling both the pastors on how she would, the crescendo in that house would go up by the time that he would have to go preach. Hell in that house on Saturday night. Because he had to get up at 6 in the morning to catch that bus to go preach, and she trying to convince him not to. The whole house was up. And he never failed to get up and go preach. And because of that, God honored the promise to him when he first got saved. He promised my father, he said, I'm going to save you and your whole house. But he had to set up that standard. He had to walk upright before the Lord. It cost my father everything. It cost him houses. It cost him jobs. It cost him everything. But he never let go of Jesus. And at the time my mother was getting ready to pass, he said it was like an explosion in the house. He had to go in there and put the fire out. Hell calling on him. Because she didn't resist God, resisted the ministry, fought against the ministry like tooth and nail. But in the end, because he stood for God, God saved. And let the family know, because we were wondering. All of a sudden, she gone. And just like he was preaching this morning about the cloud of witnesses, he heard over heaven's gate. He said, June, I'm happy. In other words, she made it in. But you've got to set that standard. You can't turn to the right. You can't turn to the left. You can't compromise the things of God. You've got to stand up and be counted. God's got a word of prophecy for you. It's a sure word. It's by the commandment of God. It's not by the will of man. God's not working by the will of man. He's working by his own will, by his own power, by his own authority. We have to rest in that authority, and God will bless us. Come on and give God some praise. I'm done.